Well, good morning, everybody. Before we get any further, I need to make sure if you are a kid, if you are one of our children here, and you would like to join Pastor Susan back in kids' worship, please go meet her at the back. She is ready and waiting for you. Got a couple of takers there. Good deal. Hey, real quick, before we hop into the sermon, just want to update some people on some news to be praying for. If you are part of our prayer chain, you probably already know this, but we just want to update each other on family news. Melody DeBurr fell on, I think it was Thursday night, and fractured her leg below her knee. And so she has 6 weeks of needing to immobilize her leg. And so that is going to be significant for her and her husband, Lauren, over the next couple of weeks, so next 6 weeks. So be praying for the DeBurr family. I was checking some other things that were going on. You may know, and Julie, you may be watching us this morning from online. Julie Waddle, one of our longtime members that joins us online these days, she got readings that were stable in terms of her diagnosis. She's been navigating a form of cancer, and so things have been stable. We're grateful for that. Worship team, I feel like there was some other crew, someone else that we were mentioning. Is that fair to share? No? That's all right. But we've got people that are navigating some different things, so let's be praying for our church community. One other thing to be celebrating and to be praying for is we've got a number of people, a number of our students that are going through a baptism class right now, so be praying for our youth students that are navigating baptism class and considering that, and we are about to get underway with some membership classes as well. So be praying for our friends that are navigating those things and taking various steps towards Jesus and into our church community. Let's pray together, and let's just go to God. God, we are grateful for many things, for people that are considering being baptized, for friends that are joining our church community as members. We are grateful and we thank you. God, we recognize that some people are navigating other stuff too. With Melody and her broken leg, we pray for healing and for good things for her. For Julie Waddle, we are grateful and we pray for continued stability in terms of her diagnosis and outlook. For other friends that haven't been spoken about, we just ask, Lord, that you would be with all of us and that you would bring your healing, peace, presence, comfort, all of those things more and more into our lives as we try to focus more and more on you. Help us focus on you this morning. Help what I say to help us focus on you. And may we exist to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. We are in our communication series. It's a series we've been calling What Would Jesus Say? This is a momentous day for me, just personally. This is my, well, for one thing, a main thing, Caitlin is back in the room. That is momentous and wonderful. She's finally back from California. Praise God. I don't think we would have lasted another week. That was too long. 2 weeks longer than we expected to be apart. We would rather not do that again. This is also my 200th sermon that I've preached here. So, well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a pretty big number. Thank you for letting me preach and engage. And thank you for the many of you that have preached up here as well and have delayed this number. I'm grateful for you, too. I'm thinking of several people here that have preached for us, and I'm grateful for your sharing as well. But on a day like this, and in a series where I'm saying, what would Jesus say, it seemed like a really bad idea to not actually talk about what Jesus kind of said, right? And so we're going to talk about what Jesus, we're going to look about at something that Jesus actually said, and we're going to explore a conversation that Jesus had. So if you can flip in your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 12, and we're going to look at something that Jesus said in conversation. And Robert, these are scenes 2 and 3. I'll get scene 2 up. And Rick, if you would mind switching the one back there when we get to it. But Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 13. Later, the leaders sent some Pharisees and some supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. "Teacher," they said, "we know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now, tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we pay them?" Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, "Why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin and I'll tell you." And when they handed it to him, he asked, "Whose picture and title are stamped on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. "Well then," Jesus said, "give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." His reply completely amazed them. We've been in this series where we've been trying to talk about how to communicate like Jesus. And here in our passage this morning, Jesus is confronted by some supporters of Herod, but also what seems like the main group, the Pharisees. And these Pharisees, you know, they are not Jesus' biggest fans. And we're explicitly told their motives here. Yeah, Jesus says, "Why are you trying to trap me?" They were trying to get him to say something that he could be arrested for. And I'm sure it was obvious at the time. And as Mark, the author of this gospel, looked back, I'm sure it was even more clear after the fact. The supporters of Herod and the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus. And I think I've talked about it here before, but this has to be especially disheartening for Jesus because of who the Pharisees were. The Pharisees were this group in the ancient Near East that Jesus had the most in common with. Jesus would have had the most in common with these folks. They were a grassroots group of Bible preachers. They wanted revival in their land. They wanted God to be the center of people's lives, both personally and corporately as a group of people. And those are all things that Jesus wanted to. But the Pharisees put up roadblocks to people encountering Jesus. They put up barriers. They made it harder for people to encounter Jesus, to encounter God, to connect with God, because of all the rules that they made. And some of these rules, many of these rules, weren't rules that God had made, and they were just, you know, talking about it. They were rules that the Pharisees themselves had made up. There would be something that God had said, like, don't work on the Sabbath. So that's a rule. But in order to make sure you're not working on the Sabbath, you need to do this, and you need to make sure you don't walk a mile past your house because that might be considered work, and you got to do this too. And so there, by the time you looked at the original rule, you were all the way over here. They were trying to build a fence around the original rule, and they built like 20 fences. They made it harder for people to connect with God because they had to follow all of these rules the Pharisees made up. We try not to put up roadblocks to following Jesus. That's not to say that following Jesus, the Jesus way, is easy. But we don't want to make it artificially harder, right? We don't say when you come in the church building you need to wash your hands 5 times and then hop on one leg to your seat, because that'd be ridiculous. What does that have to do with following Jesus? And why are we trying to make things harder? It's crazy. The Pharisees made things harder for people to encounter God. And so Jesus is here talking with this group of people that should be excited about him, that should be on his side, wanting people to encounter God more and more. And they're trying to trap him into saying something that'll get him into trouble. To get him arrested, to make him fall from grace of people. I need to say, if you find yourself in a situation like this where you are trying to trap somebody, where you're in the Pharisees' shoes, I have to say, I don't know if we're doing the conversation right, if that's where we find ourselves. If we are trying to trap someone, I don't think we're entering into that conversation in good faith. Now, we can try to persuade people, implore people, invite people, all of those things. But if you're trying to trap somebody, if you're trying to trip somebody up with your words, I think you need to take a step back because your relationship is already in trouble. Your relationship may well be broken. And it might be wiser spending time investing in healing that relationship than to try and trap them to win whatever argument is going on for the time. There are also times where we recognize if you are trying to constantly trap somebody and they're kind of constantly trying to trap you and you're just constantly butting heads, there are times where with God's wisdom, with significant prayer involved, maybe it's time to take a step back from that relationship. Maybe it's time to say, hey, let's not interact for a little bit. We always seem to be butting heads. Let's try to not talk for a little bit and then come back and re-engage when we're in a better spot. And maybe that takes a couple of minutes, maybe that takes months. But that's something, if you're finding you're constantly trying to trap somebody else in conversation, that might be something to consider. Reader's Digest from the March 2021 edition. Caitlin was reading that, was that last night or the night before? And Reader's Digest had something to say about it. They talk about being kind, but I think this applies, instead of being mean, but this applies to traps too. Mean is easy. Trapping people is easy. Once we reached eighth grade, many of us got the idea that that nasty put down, the superior smile, that clever one-liner, those are the signs of intelligence and great personal strength. But this kind of wit is, to borrow from the writer John Scalzi, playing the game on easy mode. Making yourself feel bigger by making someone else feel small takes so little skill. 12-year-olds can do it. And 12-year-olds, I'm sorry. Sorry for that, author. I recognize that you are often our leaders in helping us be kind, so thank you. But Reader's Digest is like, come on, people. Let's be better than this. Jesus, I have a feeling, would agree. Well, let's continue with our passage. Teacher, these Pharisees and supporters of Herod say, teacher, we know how honest you are. This is fake flattery, and all flattery is fake, but flattery doesn't do people any good. There's a difference between encouragement and flattery, right? Encouragement comes from a place of wanting the best for somebody else and telling them what a blessing they are. Eliana, thank you for leading us and for being part of the team that leads us in worship. You do a great job, and it's wonderful, and it brings us to worship in the morning. Thank you. That is both true, and that is what encouragement is, right? But flattery would come from a place of wanting something from ourselves. Eliana, you do such a good job singing. Hey, you know what? You should lead our sunrise service on Easter morning. That way I don't have to wake up at 5 a.m. Easter Sunday. That's a great idea. Thanks. Bye. Like, that is flattery. That's not appropriate. That's not an appropriate thing to do. We don't tell people good things so we can get something out of them. That is flattery. And in our passage, Jesus sees right through it. He sees their motivations. And if we take the time, I think we can see through people's motivations too. We can see people's motivations. Jesus responds pretty quickly. It's okay in a conversation if we take a little bit of time. But here in our passage, Jesus does something absolutely brilliant. He names what is going on in the conversation as it's happening. He says, why are you trying to trap me? It's a trap, he says. And he figures it out long before Admiral Akbar does. And he says this. I think he says it's a trap. Why are you trying to trap me? Just in case anybody in the situation doesn't quite realize what's happening. And if the Pharisees weren't trying to trap him, they could have honestly come and said, hey, I'm sorry, we're not trying to trap you. And they could have directed the conversation that way. That's not what happened, though. Jesus names what's going on in the situation and puts their motives on clear display. One of the ways that we can actually do this in our lives is by using this thing called iMessages. Not the iMessages, you know, you get on your phone. Sorry, kids. It's the second time I'm picking on 12-year-olds today. I apologize. But iMessages, these were created back in the 60s, and if you've been in conflict workshops or if you've gone through therapy, you may have encountered these. These are ways to talk that say, I feel this. They focus on our feelings or beliefs of the speaker, and that can be a lot less threatening to the other person that we're engaged in conversation with. Saying, I feel like you never listen. I feel this way. And that lets the other person respond, I didn't know that. I thought I was just doing a good job cleaning the rest of the house, but you weren't feeling heard. I'm sorry about that. It lets the other person engage, and it becomes about our feelings, not you're a terrible person for doing X, Y, and Z. These messages where we say, I feel this, these are a way for us to be a bit more direct and to name things. Jesus doesn't say, I feel like you're trying to trap me. Granted, he is the Son of God, and he's a bit, he knows things that we don't. But he names what's going on, and I think this is a way that we can name things. I feel frustrated with whatever it is, or I feel like you're just trying to get the upper hand on here. And don't get me wrong, if you use this kind of a strategy, if you say, I feel, use this iMessage type language, you're probably going to escalate the conflict. It's going to break out into the open, and it might escalate briefly, but if you want to save your relationship, if you want to bring some healing or get through what is going on, I think this tends to be a pretty good option of getting things out in the open and being direct. Jesus names what is going on. And then he's got his final statement here, our last thing to look at. After everything, Jesus says, fine, let's get down to what you were talking about. All right, give me a coin. Whose face is on this? Caesar? Okay, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what belongs to God. And Brian, I was worried that you had figured out what my passage was earlier today. You said it already. What belongs to God? It's everything. Everything belongs to God, including that piece of money that had Caesar's face on it. It still belongs to God. It is a creation of his. Jesus answered what he knew to be true. Jesus saw what he knew to be true and went with it. And that's what we should do. We can answer with truth, with what we believe, with what we know about God. And that's in a conversation tying things back to what we believe and what we value. That's saying, hey, I believe in truth and goodness, and I want to live that out even here in this conversation. So if you find yourself in a difficult situation, go back to what you believe. Go back to the Bible. Go back to Jesus. Go back to God. And try and tie what's going on in the conversation to things like that. Many of us, when we get in a conversation or we look at this passage in Scripture especially, when we might think about times where we've been trapped, where we need to go back to our values, name what's going on, different things like that. But I just want to recognize here for a second, sometimes in our lives, we look more like the Pharisees than we look like Jesus. And I'll talk about customer service because that's something that we've all encountered, and that's an easy way to see this. If we want to look like the Pharisees, if we want to live life like the Pharisees, we know how to do that when it comes to customer service, right? You call up your phone company, they have you on hold for 30 minutes, and you finally get to a representative, and you are angry. You can be loud. You can yell at them till they get you to a supervisor, and then you try and trap that supervisor in some way into giving you a better deal on your cable package or something like that. Or get out of the, more likely get out of the cable package they tried to prepackage with you and have made it just a terrible deal to disentangle and disengage with. But there's the Pharisee way of, you know, being aggressive and loud and angry and a little bit manipulative. We can do life like the Pharisees, or we can choose to take life the Jesus way. And if you ask me what Jesus would do, I think Jesus would be somebody that is sincere. That does not mean he's a pushover. That cannot mean that he's a pushover, because Jesus, as we see him in the Bible, is one of the strongest, was the strongest person of moral character that ever lived, that is alive. It doesn't mean being a pushover, but being sincere, being upfront, but also being kind. And he might name what's going on in the situation, and he might say something like, I think you know that this isn't fair. I feel like this isn't fair, and I think you know that that's the way it is too. You realize that this isn't fair too. Jesus would be able to name what's going on in the situation. And I think that route, if we look at both of those routes, the Pharisee way of anger and yelling and everything that entails trying to trap people, or the Jesus way of being sincere and naming what's going on, both of those might, you know, get your phone issue with your phone company resolved. But I have to think that this way, the Jesus way, is better for us too. It's better for the person that's hearing and listening, but it's got to be better for us, for our own souls as well. My dad is really good at this. This is one of the areas where I try and live life like he does, because my dad is somebody who is polite, he's sincere, he has patience even when somebody's clearly new at their job and is working on doing things, and he has strength and fiber in him to say, hey, I don't think you're doing this right, you should really reconsider. But I find people respond so much better to him because our world talks like the Pharisees did. Our world trains us to talk like the Pharisees did, trying to get our way instead of being sincere, naming what's going on, and living out the Jesus way. And I have to believe that this is better. That even though our world doesn't talk like that, we as Christians, we as Jesus followers should. So, there are some communication things that I picked up from this passage about a conversation that Jesus had. Don't try to trap or flatter people. Name what's going on. Bring things back to the Bible, back to your values, all of that. But now it's time for us to have a conversation. Kevin, if you want to grab our mic, we're going to head over to our Q&A time. And so, we'll just have a conversation. I know the slide says Q&A, but I was reminded, I think last week, comments. If you've got a story you'd like to share that relates to what we're talking about today, you can text me, raise your hand in here, comment on the YouTube. Any of that works. But do you have thoughts? Do you have questions, comments, stories about this passage or another passage that you see Jesus living out communication principles in? Anything there? Now's your time. I'm looking on our friends online, and I'm not seeing anything. Robert, you can correct me if that changes. Anybody have a question, a comment, anything there? Christy. By the way, Christy, sorry to do this, but remember that you need to take a photo here as well. Yeah, that's right. The Christian leader needs a photo of our church engaging, and they wanted something of me. So anyways.
So I don't know if it's a question or a comment, but you said the world acts more like Pharisees, and I think it's important that we remind ourselves that sometimes we, and myself included, will have that image, and we can do so much harm than good when, you know, it's like, you know, when we're looking at the log in somebody else's eye and we point out, you know, Christian or not, you know, we can do so much damage, and we oftentimes walk away from something looking like we're better than somebody or that we have the upper hand. And it's important, like you always mention, like in conversations, like I'll ask you for advice and you'll say, like, what gets them one step closer to Jesus? And I remember that because, like, the direction that I take or what I say or the advice that I give, like, has to be that kind, gentle, patient, you know, the fruits of the Spirit versus what, you know, I might think is the right way to go. You know, it's just a just a reminder that we can have that image just as much as the world has that image.
Absolutely. When we read in the Bible, often we identify with the Christian side of things because we're Christians. We identify with Jesus. We identify with the people of Israel, things like that. But when we read a passage like this, we need to make sure that we know what we see ourselves in the Pharisees, because there but for the grace of God go I, right? All of us have that tendency. And when I talk about the world does something and we as Christian, as Christ followers, are supposed to do something else, that's not because this is our natural inclination. Our natural inclination is to do what everyone else does. But as we are being transformed more and more by the Spirit, by what Jesus is doing, we try to live out the Jesus way. But every time we see a passage of Scripture, we recognize we can probably see ourselves in the group of people that are doing negative things too. Are there other questions, other comments? I'm going to check my phone here to see. Looks like I've got one. Sure, you're fine. I promise, we're not doing a model shoot or anything like that, but the Christian leader wanted one photo of me actually preaching, so we didn't have that. Give to God what belongs to God. Give your problems to God. Give your faith and life to God, because it is His. Yes and amen. Everything that we have is God's. That is good. And I don't know if you're somebody who needs to hear that today. You know what? Let me read it one more time. Give to God what belongs to God. It says equals. Give your problems to God. Give your faith and life to God, because it is His. Everything we have is God's. That includes our words, how we communicate, what we say. And we want to give our communication, our whole self, our lives to God, so that more people can encounter Him and take that one step closer to Jesus. Other questions, comments, thoughts? There in the back.
So because I live with Ben, I've been thinking through this particular passage and through this. Can you guys hear me? There we go. Since I live with Ben, I've been thinking through this particular passage and this particular topic throughout the week. And I'm really struck with the fact that in our culture, we equate trapping people with having great wit and being kind of academically and like emotionally superior. So to be able to trap someone in their words is seen as kind of like an honorable thing, as something that means that you are smarter, more capable, and perhaps more intelligent than the other person. I don't know if I have a question with that, but it's just something that's been bothering me. So I've been thinking about that and kind of wondering how to even push back against that part of our culture and to, just be more aware of that, even in maybe how I see interactions with and around me.
There, leave that mic there for just a second. There was a book that you read in your studies about cynicism and sincerity. What was the name of that book?
That was like three classes ago.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't remember. But yes, that was a really good book, and I will find it. I think it's in your office.
No worries. I haven't read it yet. It's on my large stacks of books to read. But there was a book that Caitlin read about cynicism and how pervasive that is. And cynicism is this desire of ours to, well, it for one thing, it's just us failing to see goodness in people. It's our failing to see goodness in our world or in people, and it's almost contempt in that area. But sincerity is one of those solutions to it. And when we are sincere, we don't try to trap people just in order to win an argument. We want what is best for people. And I think that's what Jesus would do. I got another Q&A. This pandemic has led to a lot of hurt and brokenness in relationships. Even when we are trying to communicate like Jesus, it seems like some people just can't come to an agreement about things. What if we have tried to communicate well, but it just isn't working? Do we grieve the loss of that relationship? What should we do? That's an easy question that we can easily fix in 5 minutes here, right? We recognize that the pandemic's an easy target for this, but in a lot of areas in life, not just in this one area, we recognize there are people with significantly different beliefs or values on something, and there's just not going to be agreement. I mean, I even think about all the conversations about masks, and I don't want us to rehash them after the service here or anything like that, but just so many of the conversations that we had about just something like masks, and there are different perspectives that people are deeply entrenched in. You're not going to be able to bridge that gap in all likelihood. Like, you're not going to be able to convince somebody to move from one side here to another side in all likelihood. That is very rare that happens on just about anything. And so the real question is not how can I convince them or trap them in my argument to get them from here to here or from here to here. The question is really, is this person somebody that should be in my life? And I tend to be somebody that's pretty hesitant to kick people out. I don't want to be somebody that kicks people out of my life, though there comes a point where if somebody is, we use the word sometimes called toxic, if there is somebody toxic in your life, with a lot of prayer, maybe you do need to grieve that relationship and take a step back from them. You are not called to be in an abusive relationship. You're not. You're not called, whether it's physical or verbal or anything like that. That is not what Jesus calls you to be in. And so if somebody is constantly just, making you a punching bag, berating you, maybe it's time to take a step back from that. But if that's not the situation you're in, if you're wanting to engage with somebody and keep them in your life, you need to decide, is what you're fighting about actually worth losing that person over? And for me, 9 times out of 10, it's not. And for Jesus, yes, absolutely an amen. For Jesus, he is who I have centered my life around, and I want to be all in for him. But on most other things, I think we need to realize we're not going to convince people with our words in one conversation. It just, life doesn't work that way. you're more likely to convince somebody by being kind to them than you are by trapping them in a clever, witty comment. And that's the hard work that none of us like to do because it's painstaking and it's difficult. There are times to back away from a relationship, yes. And there are times to just say, you know what, I'm going to ignore that thing that you just said for the sake of our relationship. You probably don't even tell them that because that's probably not going to help. But we recognize that it's hard to convince people, but what people are convinced by, what ultimately changes relationships is acts of love and sincerity towards people. And so if you can be kind and be a servant to people and then be willing to say, yeah, I don't agree with you on that point, but that's okay, I still love you, that is more likely to change somebody's mind in the long run of your relationship than, you know, that one clever gotcha moment. Anyways, I hope I answered that person's question. Other thoughts, comments? I want to give just a few more seconds here. All right. Well, Jesse, why don't you come up, give our announcements, and then we'll pray, and we'll ask God to send us into this week well. Jesse, if you haven't heard, Jesse is interning with our community. She has been working with us now for 2 weeks, and please share our church announcements with us.
Yes, so for the Topeka Rescue Mission, for the month of February, they're collecting cans of soup, and then men's coffee will be at Hardee's on 21st and Wanamaker, and then the women's will be at Quasitel Cafe on 21st and Bell, and those are both Wednesdays at 9:30. And then the classes for baptism and membership have begun. And so we just ask that you would continue to pray for the people that are involved in that, that God would lead them into what they need to hear and making the decisions for themselves. And then Cornerstone Conditioning is at Tuesday mornings at 10. There'll be a co-ed men and women's level 1 chair-based class in the sanctuary, and that starts February 8th. And then Thursday evening at 6:30, there'll be a women's only, and this is a level 2, which is a strength and cardio class, and that's in the gym. And that has already started, but the level 1 participants are welcome to join as chairs will be provided.
All right. Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate it. Well, hey, let's pray together and let's ask God to help us as we communicate with each other, as we communicate with our world, that we would be like Jesus. God Almighty, we love you. And we want to be like you. We recognize the ways in which we've resembled the Pharisees. I'm even reminded as we've talked this morning of the ways where I have resembled a Pharisee in my life, where I've tried to trap someone or to use anger or to do things that are not like you. God, help us. Help us live lives of love, of sincerity. Help us to name things that are going on. Help us to live like you do. Live like Jesus did. Live like you empower us to. God, may your Holy Spirit come in our hearts, in our lives, and in everything that we do so that we can be empowered to live life like you. So that the words we say can bring people one step closer to Jesus instead of pushing them away, and so that we can be a community of vibrant faith that does things like you would do. Lord, help us bring people and connect them to you. May we do that this week and bring all glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Friends, go communicate well this week. Take care. Go in peace.